turn in your Bible with me to Acts chapter 27, and we want to look at verses 24 through 27. Acts chapter 27. This is what it says from the New Living Bible. Acts 27, 27 through 29. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were driven across the sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. This is the word of God. I want to use these verses this morning as a starting place to talk about anchoring your faith. Anchoring your faith. Many of you may already be familiar with this narrative that we find in the closing chapters of the book of Acts. Here the Apostle Paul was approaching the end of his ministry, and he is on board a cargo ship, an Alexandrian cargo ship that was bound for Rome. He was hailed on that ship by the providence of God as a prisoner in chains. Here in Acts 27, the pericope about which we are discussing this morning, we find the details of the trip. What began as an ordinary voyage on a calm sea soon became a severe storm called a nor'easter. The ship on which Paul is a prisoner has been violently battered by the raging sea and forcefully driven by fierce winds for almost 2 weeks. The sailors on board had worked tirelessly around the clock trying to save themselves. The text tells us that they tied ropes around the ship to try to keep it from breaking apart, that they made the ship lighter in the storm by throwing cargo overboard to relieve the strain, and when that didn't work, they began to throw pieces of the tackle and provisions overboard. The Bible says that they struggled in this storm, that they saw neither sun nor stars for many days. It was a vicious storm of tremendous magnitude. And it lasted so long that those aboard lost all hope. In the midst of it, here is Paul, a Christian whose life and work is in line with God's will. He finds himself in this threatening situation. He has no experience as a sailor. He's a tent maker. He has no skills as a mariner because he's a theologian. There are with him on board the ship men who have spent their entire career on the sea. But in this situation, it's beyond their control. The captain of the ship has authority over the men on the ship, but he has no power or authority over the elements of nature. The ship's owner has given up hope that any of them would survive. This is a scenario that is painted, the backdrop that is given for the lesson that God wants us to learn this morning. This is the backdrop that brings us to the verse that we're considering today. Listen to the verses again. Acts 27, beginning with verse 27. About midnight on the 14th day night of the storm, we were being driven across the Sea of Adria. The sailors sensed that land was near, and they dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little while later, they dropped the line again and found that it was only 90 feet deep. And at this rate, they were afraid that we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. And so they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed that daylight would come. Notice, they dropped four anchors and prayed for daylight. This morning, I want to take a short time, a few minutes, to say something about anchored faith. You know what an anchor is. It's a large object, usually made of metal, and it's used to keep a boat or a ship in place in the middle of a storm. The primary force holding an anchored ship is in place is the weight of the chain on the bottom of the sea. The anchor is designed to dig into the seabed, which gives it holding power. If the anchor is in the correct position, it will dig deeper when the waves and wind put pressures on the chain. So the harder the wind blows, the deeper the anchor sinks into the seabed. In spite of the turbulence of the sea, the anchor is designed to hold the ship to prevent it from being driven in the wind. In this text, the sailors knew what an anchor was supposed to do. They were familiar with the sea and with ships. And so in an attempt to steady the ship, they threw four, not one, they threw four anchors overboard. But my brothers and sisters, those anchors failed. And as I read the text, I became keenly aware of the fact that Paul was in the ship, but he had another kind of anchor. It was a faith anchor. And it was his faith anchor that steadied him aboard a ship that was being tossed and driven in the midst of men who had lost all hope in the middle of a night that had lasted 14 days. And yet, his faith anchored him down. Paul was able to stay steady and to stay strong, and we want to look at why. As we look at this text this morning, we'll discover that Paul's one anchor of faith is embedded in four truths about God. His anchor is embedded in the fact of God's presence, in the certainty of God's promises, in the sufficiency of God's power, and the integrity of God's plan for his life. 4 points. Y'all need to get that. I want to say it again. This is where you're what you don't need four anchors. You only need one. It just needs to be anchored in the right thing. And here are four truths about God that you and I can anchor our faith in. I want to say it again. Four truths. We can anchor our faith in the fact of his presence. We can anchor our faith in the certainty of his promises. We can anchor our faith in the sufficiency of God's power. And we can anchor our faith in the integrity of God's plan for our lives. My brothers and sisters, if we are anchored in faith in these truths, as we experience the turbulence of our times and the stormy forecast ahead, we can survive any storm. Somebody say amen right there. Let me just briefly say something about these 4 points. First, anchor your faith in the fact of God's presence. And that theme has been reoccurring this morning in the song, in the praise song, and in Reverend Bowman's prayer. And I love it when that happens because it means that we are on one accord. Amen. One spirit, one God, one faith, anchored in the presence of God. In the midst of the raging storm, in the blackness of the sea, the Lord was with Paul. Listen to what Paul says in verse 23. He says, "For last night an angel of the Lord of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me." The angel was a messenger from God with a message for Paul, but before the messenger spoke, he made his presence known. Paul said, "He stood beside me." That's presence, y'all. Listen, there's a difference between God's omnipresence and the manifestation of his presence. Y'all, now get this. There's a difference between omnipresence of God. We know that God is everywhere at the same time. That's omnipresence. However, there are times when we can't feel or sense his presence. Amen. So while God is present, he does not, his presence is not always made manifest. You understand what I'm saying? That God, for a fact, is everywhere at the same time. But there are times in my life when I can't feel him nowhere around. Have you ever been there? There are times when you can sense the presence of God, when you can feel him moving in your life. And like the song says, there are times when you can feel the prayer wheel turning and you know the fire is burning. And I love it when God makes his presence manifest. Don't you love that? When you can just sense his presence in the room. I walked into the sanctuary this morning, and while we always ought to be able to sense the presence of God, at least in the sanctuary of God, that's not always the case. But when I walked through the doors this morning, his presence was already manifest. It felt like I walked right into the midst of his presence. I love it when I can feel the presence of God. I love it when I can enjoy the presence of God. Amen. I love when God makes his presence manifest. There's a joy in divine fellowship, and his presence brings a peace that is unmistakably divine. He makes his presence manifest. But then there are times when it feels like God is missing. Have you ever been there? When it feels like he's missing in action. When it feels like your prayers are not going any further than the ceiling. I'm reminded of Job, who in a single day lost everything. He lost his family, his business, his health, everything he owned. And for 37 chapters in the book of Job, God did not say anything. In spite of that, we hear Job saying, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's an example of faith that's anchored in the presence of God, not in the manifestation of his presence, but in the fact of his presence. I know that God will not leave me. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there are situations that will stretch your faith, and some of us are in those situations right now, and who knows what tomorrow will bring when it feels like your life is falling apart and God is nowhere to be found. And while God wants you to sense his presence and to take delight in his presence felt, he is more concerned that you trust him when you can't feel his presence. Let your faith be anchored in the fact that God is present, and not necessarily in your feelings that he is present. He is with you in every situation, whether you feel him or not. So regardless of the storm-tossed life you may be in right now, you can have the same confidence that the Apostle Paul had in his relationship with the Lord. In the midst of a storm, Paul said, "The messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, stood right by me." But secondly, he didn't just stand, he spoke. Anchor your faith in the certainty of God's promises. Verse 24, the angel stood beside Paul and he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you." So here, as Paul weathered the long, terrible storm, the Lord came to him with a precious promise. He reminded Paul that he would stand before Caesar and that all on the ship were to be spared as well. And so in the midst of this storm, anchor your faith in the promises of God. And the word of God is filled with promises to his people. That's why we have to be in the word. The word of God, I read somewhere yesterday that there are over 7,000 promises that God makes to his people in his word. God makes promises to his people. In order for you and I to be anchored, we've got to believe in God's word and we got to trust in God's promises. He promised salvation to all who believe in Christ. He promised that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God has promised to give us comfort through the comforter in our times of trials. God has promised to give us new life in Christ. He has promised every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've got to become familiar with the promises of God because our faith can be anchored in the promises of God. He promised peace when we pray. He promised to supply all of our needs. Have I got a witness? He promised life and that more abundantly. He promised power from on high. The word of God is filled with promises from God. He promised that he would return and that where he is, there we shall be also. He promised that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He promised to hear us when we pray. He promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm anchored in the promises of God. Amen. I believe in his word. And so regardless of what is happening to me or around me, my faith is anchored in the word of God. I just believe that God will keep his word. I know that God is not a man that he should lie. He does not lie. His word, his truth is his truth, and he is faithful to his truth. The flower fades and the grass may wither, but the word of God will stand forever. I am anchored in the promises of God. If you're anchored in the promises of God, you ought to tell somebody right now. Just turn wherever you are and say to the person next to you, I'm anchored in God's promises. I'm not worried because I know that God has promised to be with me. And if God is for me, he's more than the world against me. Amen. I'm just standing on the promises of God. Amen. Amen. And so thirdly, for Paul here, just having a word from God, just having a word from God is enough. A promise from God is enough to anchor Paul's soul in the middle of the storm. Amen. He knew that God was good as his word. And you do too. Amen. You can look back at your own experience. And you can have evidence from your own life experience that God is true to his word. Have I got a witness? He does just what he says he will do. Amen. He is just who he says he is. And I'm glad about that. I've got personal experience. When my back was against the wall and God said he is able to make a way out of no way, he did just that. When I ran out of resources and God said he will provide for my every need, he did just that. Have I got a witness? You didn't know where resources was coming from, but God's word stands true. His word is true. Amen. Amen. And so I want to anchor my faith in the fact of God's presence. Amen. I'm going to anchor my faith in the promise of his word, and then I want to anchor my faith in the sufficiency of God's power. Y'all got that? The sufficiency of his power. Paul had faith in God's power that God had power over his situation, that God had the power to bring him through, that God has power over the raging sea and over the driving winds, and that when the experts come to the end of their expertise, that there's another expert above them, and that's God. This isn't the first storm that we read about in God's word. There is a storm. There was another storm that we read about when Jesus, our Lord, sent his disciples across the sea, and in the middle of their journey, in the middle of the night, a storm arose on the sea that tossed their boat around. But then when they looked up, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Listen, he had power to walk on what was turning their lives upside down. And when he came to the boat and he got on the boat, the Bible says that he merely spoke to the winds and the waves, "Peace be still." And the water became calm and the wind stopped blowing. Jesus has power over the winds and the waves. God has all power, amen, over your situation. As a matter of fact, that was a Friday when the enemies of God crucified the Son of God. He died on the cross. They took his body down and laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there all Friday evening. And he laid there all Saturday, but early Sunday morning, God raised him from the dead. And that we hear him saying that God has given me all power in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He has all power. He is omnipotent and he reigns. And that's the God that I serve. I have a God. I serve a God that is superior, that has all power, and I trust in him. He is omnipotent. So whatever situation I find myself in, I am confident that God is in control. Amen. That he is sovereign. Amen. That he has all power in his hands. Amen. We can anchor our faith, y'all, in the presence of God. I know you might feel lonely right now. You might not see any light at the end of the tunnel. And you might feel as if you're in it by yourself. If you belong to God, you are never alone. Even if you feel alone, it's a trick of Satan. You can anchor your faith in the presence of God. Just talk to him right now. He hears what you have to say, and he's concerned about your life, and he's present with you. Amen. Anchor your faith in the promises of God. Just get the word. Read it a little bit. God will tell you what he will do for you. In his word. And you can take that to the bank. Amen. And then know that God is in charge. We don't know who's going to win the election. And we don't know what lays ahead. But we know who's in charge. God is in charge, y'all. Now, I just want to review this biblical story. You remember? The Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Old Testament, Book of Daniel, Hebrew boys. These Hebrew boys was taken from their town, from their homeland, and taken to Babylon. And they were expected to assimilate into the culture. They did the best that they could. As a matter of fact, they rose to the challenge, and they exceeded expectations. Amen. But they still knew their God. And when the king raised up an image that everyone was to bow down to, they said to the king, "We can't bow down to your God. Yeah, your God didn't bring us out of slavery. We can't bow down to your God. Your God did not provide for our poor parents as they traversed the wilderness. We can't bow to your God." Your God did not separate the seas for our people to cross over. We can't bow to your God. Your God is made out of money. Your God is made out of gold. Your God is made of that which loses its value over time. We can't bow down to your God. Your God is a political idea. Our God is a spiritual reality. We can't bow down to your God. And the king said, if you can't bow down to our God, we're going to have to throw you in a situation that's fiery, and then we'll see who's going to save you. And they said to the king, well, you have to do what you have to do, but we won't bow down to your God because our God has all power. And you can throw us into the furnace if you want to. We know that God, our God, is able to save us. But even if he does not, we will not bow down to your God. Their faith was tested like your faith is being tested right now. And they were literally thrown into a blazing, fiery furnace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the situation that the king's men had created was so hot that those who threw the Hebrew boys in the fire were consumed by the situation that they created. But those boys walked around in the midst of the fire. And they weren't by themselves. The Bible says that there was one, a fourth presence, as the Son of God that was walking around in the fire with them. Not only was he present with them, not only did he keep his promise to be with his people, but he had power even in the midst of the fire. And the king looked in and said, did we not throw three men in? And yet I see a fourth, and the fourth one looks like a son of the God. And they took those boys out of the fire, and they were unharmed. I want you to know this morning that God has the power to take care of your situation. Amen. So we are anchored in the presence of God. We are anchored in the promises of God. We are anchored in the power of God. But fourthly, our faith can be anchored in the integrity of his plan for our lives. Amen. In God's plan for our lives. You were born again. You were given new life by God. And that life that he has given to you, he has guided you. And he has guarded you. And he will glorify you. He has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. You are God's masterpiece. You were created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has planned for you to do before he laid the foundations of the world. You are not useless. You are valuable to God and valuable to the kingdom. God does not throw away life. He has a plan for your life. Even in the midst of your trouble right now, God has a plan. His plan sometimes takes us in what seems to be out of the way places, but it is his plan. His plan sometimes requires for you and I to suffer hardship and struggle, but it's still his plan. His plans sometimes are hard for us to understand, so we have to walk by faith. His plans always have his purpose as its end. The songwriter says we are often tossed and driven on a restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed the bright sunshine. But in that land of perfect day, when the clouds have rolled away, we'll understand it better by and by. So you just hold on to God's unchanging hand. And by and by, in the morning, when the morning comes and all the saints of God are gathering home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on a restless sea of life, howling skies and howling tempests off succeed the bright sunshine. But in that land of perfect day, when the gifts have rolled away, when the clouds have rolled away, we'll understand it better. We'll understand it better by and by, y'all. Just hold to his hand. That's what you have to do now. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And until we see him face to face, be sure, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Y'all know who that rock is? That rock is Jesus. Hey, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. Where to anchor your faith?